Well, good morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. We're going through Paul's epistle to the Galatians. Before we get into the meat of today's teaching, I'd have you understand something. That most biblical scholars agree, and I'm not claiming that title for myself, although I am a serious student of Scripture, but most scholars agree this was the first writing, the first letter before the Gospels were written. This was the first writing of the New Testament church. We tend to forget things that happened early on. They somehow or other seem to have a lesser effect. The Hebrew letter tells us that we remain the house of God, that is, an habitation of God, if we continue the way we started. And all evangelical Christianity agrees that this relationship to which God has called us in Christ begins with faith. And Paul, the writer to the Hebrews, says, as that faith continues, we remain the habitation of God, the habitation of Jesus Christ. By faith, we last week taught on the fifth chapter, I hope, I haven't heard, but I hope it had some effect. I'm, as much as I'd like to move on, we're in the fifth chapter again today. For four previous chapters, Paul has spoken of his authority as a spokesman, as an ambassador, as one sent not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God our Father, to deliver the good news of the gospel, of which he says, there's not another. There's only one. He tells of some of the problems in the early church, not only with the saints at Antioch, with the first church council, with Judaizers those who say, yeah, Christ saves, but, you know, you got to add something. You got to add, he uses circumcision as a type of the law of human performance of some form of self-righteousness. And he's trying to deliver the message of Christianity that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. He says in another letter, of whom I am chiefest. He's not proclaiming any self-righteousness. He's proclaiming he was sent by God to deliver the message. Now, Paul is, he says in another place that he was one born out of due time. And yet, he is the principal responsible for two-thirds of the New Testament writings. Why? Because those who were called, those who were chosen by Christ to be with him for 3.5 years during his earthly ministry, they didn't get it all. Oh, yeah. On the day of Pentecost, they did receive the Holy Spirit, but they didn't get it all. And Paul, having been knocked off his horse on the way to Damascus, having been blinded, having had his sight restored, spent 3.5 years in Arabia, I believe, being taught by Jesus Christ himself personally, was turned around from a position of one who intended to destroy the Church of Jesus Christ to the one who not only laid the foundation, but built the house. Which is called the Christian church today. And Paul says that the righteous by faith shall live. He compares the law given on Sinai to Abraham having fleshly relations with that Egyptian servant Hagar, which produced Ishmael, and he compares that to Jerusalem, which was, in his day, run by that so-called brother of James, so-called brother of Jesus, James, who in his letter, not recognized as canonical to the 5th century after Christ, who emphasizes works. And Paul says that it's not through fleshly works like Abraham and Hagar, but through trusting faith in the promise of God, who said unto Sarah, shall the seed be. That is the relationship between Abraham, who's 100 years old, and Sarah, whose womb was considered dead, but God said they trusted, they acted, and the miracle of Isaac is produced. Paul's trying to tell us it is of God. And what faith mixed with God's promises produces. And he says of that product, that we, he says in the 31st verse of that fourth chapter, so then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Fleshly performance. He says, of everything that I am, the second verse of chapter 5, I, Paul, say unto you, if ye be circumcised, if you are practicing, performance of the law in order that you might be justified by the law, the type of circumcision, Christ shall profit you nothing. Listen. The word in the Greek is aphileo. The word means to assist, to be useful, or advantageous. He says, if ye be circumcised, the effect of Christ is nothing. The if you be circumcised, Christ shall be of no use. In the Hebrews letter, it says in the fourth chapter, second verse, it says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, speaking of the Israelites who, after the exodus from Egypt, wandering in the desert, it says the gospel was preached unto us as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard. The catalyst is faith, and that God get all the credit, folks. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It, even it, is a gift of God. Paul says in the 13th chapter of Hebrews, in the 9th verse, it says, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace and not with meats. That's again talking about the law. Well, you can eat this, but don't eat that. Eat this, don't eat that. Not with meats which have not profited them, which have been occupied therein. Oh, got to pay attention to what I eat so I don't offend God. Jesus Christ, in that wonderful 6th chapter of John, and I'm not going to go there today. I would have you, if you're serious about this relationship that you're having with God and that God is having with you, read that 6th chapter of John. Jesus just about ends it and he says, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh, all those words he spoke before, profiteth nothing. They're not advantageous to the flesh. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm talking about true, real Christianity. It is spirit. It is not flesh. And as near as I could tell, for 2,000 years, the majority of the church is somehow or other trying to perfect your flesh. Jesus said, it don't matter. Am I speaking with some force? I hope so. I gotta hear it myself, folks. You're not alone in this battle. I'm not alone in this battle. And we're gonna talk about that battle momentarily. He says in the 5th verse of this 5th chapter, we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Not my righteousness, but the righteousness which God gives for faith. He says in the 6th verse again, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. This word availeth, it means, listen, neither obeying the law or not obeying the law doesn't do anything. It's not a force. What's the force? Faith. We've Went over most of, a lot of this last week. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Paul says in the 9th verse, a little leaveneth, and he's talking about, again, religious practices, religious ceremonies. To a lot of the Christian church, this is a very religious time. They call it Lent. It has nothing to do with Christianity. You know, you give up something, you do penance, you, you know, pay more attention to your fleshly performance. You give up something that the flesh really likes, like that's going to do something. Understand something that came out of you that is sin, and you need to do penance for it. And it that word penance means to make atonement for. And in that very act, you deny, we deny what Christ has done for us. He stepped from heaven's throne where he knew nothing but fellowship with God from the very beginning and kinned himself with us. And took on flesh and blood. That he might redeem us. That he might pay the price necessary to restore us in that relationship that God desired from the very beginning, wherein he said, let us make man in our image. In the sense that you do any penance, you deny the efficacy of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. It's not well understood in the church, folks. You know, we were here last week. It says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh will not have the last word. 4:17 verse. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. The word lusteth means to displace. The flesh is trying to displace the Spirit, and the Spirit is trying to displace the flesh. And these are contrary. One to another. The Greek word is one of warfare. It means to lie opposite, to be adverse, to be an adversary. The flesh, adversary to the Spirit. The Spirit, adversary to the flesh. Warfare is instituted when we begin to plug in to the promises of God When faith begins to operate, the Spirit comes in. And I want to encourage you. When the Spirit comes in, when we, to use Paul's phrase, walk in the Spirit, the warfare is there. It's going to go on. It's going to go on as long as this old man continues to draw breath. But the flesh will not have the last word. You know, what follows, Paul says, now the works of the flesh are manifest. That is, they're, you know, revealed. They're made obvious. And he gives a whole list. This is one of the few times Paul enumerates what's called sin. Most of the time in the New Testament, he simply doesn't describe a manifestation. He just describes what it is, hamartia, to fall short. It says, for all we have sinned, Romans 3:23. Hamartia, fall short, and have short fallen of the glory of God. But being righteousified freely by his grace, unmerited favor, through the redemption, that is what Christ has done, what Christ has paid, for the atonement that is in Jesus Christ. So we're not going to spend time on this list because, you know, if we really made a list, man, I can't tell you how long we'd be here. That's the flesh. Idolatry, witchcraft, blah, 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 blah. He says, of the witch, I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The flesh. Oh, you say, well, I don't do all those things, Don. Well, you know, Jesus cut right to the heart. He said, you know, in the Sermon on the Mount, if you hate in your heart, you're as guilty as a murderer. If you lust, you're as guilty as one who committed the act. The flesh. It's an enmity with the Spirit. And the Spirit, thank God, is at enmity with the flesh. He says, but the fruit, not fruits, fruit of the Spirit is love. I'm going to transliterate some of these things. Love, joy, that is calm delight. Peace, that is to set together again. Long suffering, that's fortitude. You just continue on. Gentleness, that's being useful. Goodness, that's having virtue. going back to this word long-suffering, it means fortitude is a constancy of mind, not discouraged in adversity. Not discouraged by our adversary. Who's our adversary? The devil? Who's our adversary? The world? Who's our adversary? The flesh? Martin Luther, joked, he said, our enemy, the world, the flesh, and the devil. He says, we've overcome. 2 out of 3 is not bad. We're not going to overcome this flesh till Jesus and the Father sanctify us wholly over there. That this earnest we have of the Spirit, that is that part payment, which shall be made complete in the same manner, that is the Spirit as it was given part payment, it shall be realized wholly over there. What are you looking for? If it's other, then that eternal city whose builder and founder is God, who desires that we might spend eternity with him. If you mind the things of the flesh, we'll pick that rest of that statement up at another time. Let's go on. Fruit of the Spirit, faith, meekness, we could say humility and temperance, self-control. You just don't let everything blurt out of your mouth. You don't run to complete that first desire that may come on you. You have some self-control. This is part of the fruit of the Spirit. Against which, Paul says, against such there is no law, as this fruit grows. And understand something, folks. This fruit, it's not an instantaneous overnight happening. I got 9 citrus trees in my backyard. The harvest took place a couple of months ago. Now the flower of the trees is just beginning, but it's going to be another 9 or 10 months before the fruit comes. It's a slow process, but a process. And in that process, progress nonetheless. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the passions and desires of it. Now that doesn't mean, like in so many places around this world, that come this Easter week, so many fools are going to go out there and hang themselves on a cross to be like Jesus. This is a metaphor. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh. That is to destroy its power. That is, the flesh's power, have crucified the flesh to destroy its power utterly. If we live in the Spirit, Paul says, let us also walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, he says, and the flesh shall not have the last word. To God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ be the glory. He not only is the initiator, but he's the finisher of faith. And to those God has chosen for himself before the foundations of the world to spend eternity with him in Christ, he has graced us this gift of faith that we might continue as we started, wherein we remain. The house, the habitation of God, the new creature, the new creation in Christ Jesus. And that's the gospel for today.